الحياه دارت ناديها محاضر احنا في مصارعه اللي من زمان ثبتونا فيها بينادوها ماما لو عدم وعلي خليها اعرفكم انا بس انا من بلد اسمها اللي فيها اللي بوت ما بدفع الثمن وفيها اللي بهدلل ناس اللي عملوا غلطوا بنوا ارضهم وكل اللي بيصير بس عشانهم لوحدهم غير واقف على موقف اللي شرف ودير اللي اقول ويبدا فهم انه القوه بالمجمع ولا مره بالمفرد وعاده ميزه فكرنا هيك احنا بمفرد عن الكل والغلط انه فكرنا بالكل بس هذا الغلط لانه صح ولازم ودوم ولما قلنا ايدي بايد ما كانش قصنا اصبع ولا تاخد لازم تطلب والقوه بالمجمع
مع انه حرفنا خجوله ومش لابسه حرير عروس بلا طرحه دورها
All right, welcome to Arab Talk on KPOO, San Francisco, 89.5 FM. This is Arab Talk with Jess and Jamal. And we're entering the second month of the brutal Israeli assault on the civilian population of Lebanon, as well as the ongoing siege in Palestine. And today we're very fortunate to have on the line Dr. Munzer Sliman. And Dr. Sliman is a founding member of the National Council of Arab Americans, an independent political military analyst with expertise in the U.S. national security affairs, the subject of his doctorate dissertation. In addition, he's an independent media consultant with more than 25 years of experience in the Middle East and its diplomacy. He's been on every major media outlet, both here in the United States, Europe, and the Arab world. Dr. Sliman, welcome to Arab Talk.
You're more than welcome.
Dr. Sliman, this is Jamal Dajani, the co-host of Arab Talk. And I want to begin asking you a question about which is relevant to your expertise in the military field. We are now seeing a month has gone by on the Israeli bombardment of the Lebanese infrastructure. And yet we are seeing them held back in the south of Lebanon by what has been reported approximately 4,000 Hezbollah fighters. What's going on as far as that so-called, you know, military failure on the Israeli part?
Well, let me just put things in context, and then I will answer directly your question that has military implications. First, after the end of the Cold War, the United States was left as the only superpower with a surplus of military might. The people who are ruling in the White House and the people in the interests that they represent, whether the oil interest, the military-industrial complex interest, the financial quarters interest, etc., they found with the ideology and positions that been advanced by the neocon that this military surplus need to be utilized to further the goals of those interests and to try to postpone any potential of bringing some sort of equilibrium to the world system. That means that to guarantee the domination of United States for an extended period of time and prevent any other country or coalition of a country to really bring back some sort of equilibrium to the world system. That surplus took the events of September 11 as an excuse to advance quickly their plan and to implement it, to execute it. And we saw what happened in Afghanistan first, then after that Iraq under the guise of war against terror or tyranny. And what happened, the question should be asked, why that reserve, strategic reserve in the region, the Israeli military might, why was not utilized in the two major wars that occurred in the region? Means 1991 and 2003. That reserve, military reserve, or the aircraft of United States in the region, as people sometimes refer to, was conducting what they call it low-intensity warfare with the Palestinians in particular, and occasionally with the Lebanese. But the forces that opposing this kind of plan for the region, to remap the region by United States and dominated, were at least gaining some momentum, whether you're talking about the popular resistance in Lebanon, in Palestine. They could not really affect any changes in the will of the people in the region, whether you have Syria, who did not accept the dictate of United States, or Iran. So you have a situation where the United States found itself that its original plan, whether in Iraq, whether in Afghanistan, whether in the region, and even Somalia, is faltering. That's why I think there was a premeditated attempt to utilize that ready reserve to go ahead and try to eliminate the opposition, the popular opposition and resistance in Lebanon and Palestine. So that's why we had ongoing war on the Palestinian people, and this war extended now under the pretext of the skirmish on the border to take two prisoners for the exchange of the Lebanese prisoners and Arab prisoners in the Israeli jail. So this is the context why this military war machine that serving the grand military machine of United States is doing what it's doing. It's a systematic destruction and turning Lebanon into a killing field, and that's what's happening. Now, going back, this is to put things in context. Why Israel is trying to do is trying to complement and trying to the general grand design for the region, and trying also to search for its traditional role that was placed for this colonial entity from the beginning. And that's what we are witnessing the attempt to try to eradicate, as they say, the resistance from Lebanon. So here comes to Lebanon. Their plan was probably within days with air campaign, because they think traditionally in the military tradition, and they thinking that probably it's similar to the Iraq situation or even to 1982 invasion to Lebanon. They found different story here, because the resistance that was able originally in 2000 to kick the Israeli out was ready, and this is the new element in the equation that they thought that they could push the Hezbollah. Hezbollah is not in the resistance in Lebanon. They're not guests in Lebanon. They're part and parcel of the fabric of the society. And the problem that they don't understand, they're not fighting just a guerrilla, or they're fighting a society that's resisting the attempt to reoccupy or to destroy and eliminate the resistance in Lebanon. So the popular resistance of the Lebanese now is really was able to, despite all the destruction of the infrastructure, despite the mass killing that they're doing and the massacres to the civilians to try to turn the civilians against the resistance, we are witnessing that as a whole, Lebanon is supporting the resistance in Lebanon. And the tactics that were used by this popular resistance movement is something that different, because they did have some means, versus while in Palestine, in occupied territories, they don't have the minimum means to resist, but the will of both people is the same, and it is being expressed on the ground.
Dr. Sliman, how would you then describe, what is your assessment in the current state of the resistance from your analysis? Because in many ways, what we're witnessing is, the resistance has not gone away. It's 30 days now. Obviously, the Israeli military goal of being able to eradicate and destroy the infrastructure of the resistance has not proved to be successful at all. What's your current assessment of the status of the resistance now?
As we can see, that they were able so far to inflict heavy casualties in the advancing Israeli forces. And I think the illusion I think probably the fighting now for Israel and for the United States also that's supporting Israel, because this is will not happen without the assistance and the direct aid of U.S. war machine. They think they're fighting now for their reputation, the Israeli army, because it was shattered. And that's the things that they thought, that it is an image need to be protected, preserved, that will really prevent any other resistance movement from challenging this indestructible military power. So the problem now, they're looking to achieve any minimum kind of advances or gains tactically so they could claim, whether they could be able to target one of the leadership of Hezbollah or couple leadership, or will be able to take some ground and claim that this is the ground is cleared from Hezbollah missiles. The fact is that no zone, whether it's 10 kilometer, 20 kilometer, that if they could advance, it will be really more problematic to them than really a military, in a military means. We're not talking about traditional military conflict here or war. We're talking about popular war. So even if the Israeli were able to advance to Beirut, there will be an easy target for a guerrilla war by the resistance. So the issue real from the point of military point of view is really no way that the Israeli they will be able to achieve any tactical gains that could change the general state of affairs in the region and in the South. And that's, I think, the dilemma. And that's why you could see the kind of problems that they have, whether in the military leadership or the political leadership in Israel, because they are used to achieve military victory, decisive military victory, by applying brutal force by their air force and other means without utilizing their ground forces. And so the situation now, they are really in no-win situation. Of course, this is at the expense of destroying Lebanon as a whole, as a country, dismembering Lebanon, systematic killing and destruction. But for the Lebanese now, after all this suffering and death and destruction, they feel that they are more willing to continue and defend their country, and that's why the issue now for the resistance is not how much land Israel can claim that could penetrate. It's a trap for them, actually, because they were kicked out before, and the same forces that learn how to kick them out, they will be able to inflict more pain on them and more casualties and kick them out at the end. It will be an open-ended conflict until the resistance will be able to achieve its goal again.
Judging on what's been happening on the ground and what we have been hearing, I mean, we hear a lot that, from this end, that there is a delay tactic by the United States at the UN Security Council and others to give Israel more time. So what you're telling me here, that time, in fact, might not be on the side of Israel to complete its mission.
Absolutely. Look what's happening now. The French position has been zigzagging, but now the French position is not on the side of the American, you know, even I would say to a larger extent that it is really different, completely different, because they felt that the time that was given originally for the Israeli for not being able to achieve what they claimed that they can achieve. And we remember the bravado statements that the Israeli leadership was giving, and the military leaders that they were saying that they could achieve. So what we have now, that the French trying to find kind of solution, not completely declaring a victory for the Lebanese, but at the same time trying to cover the retreat of the Israelis by having some sort of an agreement or resolution that will call for multinational forces to aid the Lebanese army to disarm Hezbollah and the resistance, and to have a gradual withdrawal from the area that they advanced there without giving any clear indication of ceasefire, immediate ceasefire. They say cessation of hostilities or offensive operation, whatever. So I think despite the determination by the government of Israel to have an extended or expanded ground war, they found themselves, even on the first day, on the second day, they were not able to advance. And whenever they try to advance, they suffer heavy casualties. So now the Americans try to rescue them, but without accepting all the points that the Lebanese side has advanced, and the French, at least they're now accepting most of the conditions that the Lebanese are advancing, namely immediate ceasefire, withdrawal, complete withdrawal of the Israelis from Lebanon, including Shabba Farm, the return of the refugees from their villages, the exchange of the prisoners with the Israeli soldiers, and a guarantee that Israel will not attack Lebanon in the future, and including when they withdraw, including addressing the issue of Shabba Farm in Kfar Shuba area. So as far as I see, that what they are not been able to achieve on the ground, they're trying to force the French to accept some kind of compromise, but that even that compromise, it is away from the original position of the United States, but they still now haggling over whether the Israeli will not withdraw completely. They will withdraw on stages, and there will be cessation of hostility instead of having a ceasefire. And I think since the Lebanese government took position with the resistance, I don't think that any resolution in the final analysis, if it was reached, that does not enjoy the acceptance of the Lebanese and the consensus of the of Lebanon, then it's not going to be, they're not going to be able to implement it. Then the war will continue, and the Israeli, they will not be able to achieve their military goals, but the destruction of Lebanon will continue. But mind you that we are in a situation where the Lebanese are suffering and the Israeli are suffering too. And I don't think the Israeli can sustain a long war similarly as the Lebanese has in the past. They've shown that they could, and they also displaying that they could right now.
That's the voice of Dr. Munzer Sliman. Dr. Sliman is a founding member of the National Council of Arab Americans. He's also on their executive committee. And he's an internationally known expert on the Middle East politically and militarily. Dr. Sliman, maybe we can just switch gears a little bit. And I want to ask you a question. It's kind of a two-part question. The media coverage in the United States has been focusing on the situation in Lebanon right now. And what we don't hear that much about is what's happening in Palestine. And we don't hear as much as what's happening in Iraq. And typically, you know, the American media decontextualizes all of these things. These are separate entities, separate fronts. Perhaps you could offer an analysis for our listeners about how all these fronts are connected with one another, and maybe comment on American media portrayals of what's happening now.
The American media is directed by corporate media and corporate interests. And we need to tell the American people, you need to relearn what you already learned from this media, because this media, it's not the issue that it is bias only. It's really not providing the American public with a clear picture of what's going on. And they have been accustomed, whether by their language, narrative, their selective coverage, to give the American a picture that always picture that present the Israeli point of view and the administration point of view. I live in Washington, D.C. area, and the people who may be closely familiar, let's say, with the Washington Post, they would see that the first week and even 10 days of the conflict, on every day, there is on the front page a picture of the Israeli, suffering, or the Israeli army They're crying as if our people, they don't cry, as if there is a difference between the, our suffering, our people suffering, and the Israeli suffering. So the images that this is, I'm giving just an example of how this being portrayed in the media. So it's very ironic that the Israeli media has more debate, vivid debate, and present more point of views and assessment that we don't see even in the American media or the Western media. So my recommendation, by the way, was to friends that probably one of the tools that we can really help the cause of the people of resisting this Israeli aggression and the American aggression and occupation in the Arab world is really to allow the Israeli media to be available to all people. It is very crucial. I mean, we're not asking even for the Arab media or progressive media to present the case. Now, even here in the United States, even the so-called progressive media sometimes does not really present the point of view of the Arab side. Imagine, even in the case of Palestine, you always see when this is presented on the news that it is the consensus of two Israeli views that will be presented as the Arab view. And even if they invite an Arab speaking, he will be the person that does not speak for the Arab people or the Palestinian cause. He will be the person who really speak of what the compromise position should be. So he does, he's not presenting what his position and what his people's position. He always, they will accept him to come and to speak or to be available for interview only because they know that he will be advancing not the position on the ground, he will be advancing the position that he thinks that the compromise should be of the position. And it's the same thing, even the so-called peace movement or peace process in the Middle East, it's always the conclusion of what the two camps, let's say, in Israel, they will negotiate, and whatever the consensus, it will be presented as the peace process to us and to the rest of the world. So it's very crucial that we continue to have a popular media, whether we use the internet and other means to try to change the situation, and like your radio station now allowing for a different viewpoint that not the American not accustomed to hear often to be presented. So I think we need to continue to work to make sure that we allow the American public to relearn what they have learned, because the narrative, the political views, and the people that they present, always they are the view that serve the Israelis and present the Israeli as a human being, while the Arabs always and Muslims are subhuman, they are demonized, like I said, as if all the suffering that inflicted on the Palestinian now and the Lebanese, it's not, does not have a place in the media outlets in the United States. As far as how all this connected, if you remember at the beginning, the people who are following what I started with, I said the surplus of military power of the United States to try to dominate the world, the playground for this world order that they'd like to maintain is the so-called Middle East, is the Arab and Islamic world. So that's why the war on Afghanistan, the continuous war on Palestine to begin with, and the war in Iraq, and now the war in Lebanon, they are interconnected, because there is a design for the region that they want to create a situation where Israel will be the regional superpower, has all the military might that can be always a force of oppression in the region, and they will allow United States through its the Arab regimes that I call them the American lobby in the Arab world to maintain their relation with them and assist in them in drawing the new Middle East. And it was really very ironic that for Condi Rice to say during the destruction and the killing and the death that's been inflicted in the Palestinian and Lebanese, a new Middle East is being born. I mean, that's the kind of Middle East that they're looking for. It's not the Middle East that respect the will of the people, like they were trying to, what they're trying to do in Palestine after the election. They're trying to nullify that election. The same thing is for Lebanon now. First of all, they said they support the so-called Cedar Revolution, and they support the Lebanese people when it was crucial to come to the aid of the Lebanese people. Even a ceasefire will not occur, and even the smart weapons they are being given them, in addition to the tons of weapons that they are being giving the Israelis.
On the subject on the players in the Middle East and the so-called new Middle East that Condoleezza Rice has been advertising, what do you see going to happen in this gap that we have been seeing between the leadership, you know, in countries like Egypt, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia, and the popular sentiment? I mean, at the end of the day, there are going to be winners and losers. Whether, you know, on the Israeli Lebanese front, there going to be winners and losers, but also in the surrounding neighborhood.
I think what's happening in Lebanon is very, very important as a stage for what is to come. First of all, is really one of the taboo in the region, one of the things that have been broken, shattered, the issue of Israeli military power that cannot be tamed, cannot be challenged. The resistance in Palestine, and again now in Lebanon, clearly, it's showing an example that the military power of Israel cannot really protect them or allow them to impose their will. As far as what's going to happen, no matter what, the victory, in my opinion, already been achieved by shattering that image and by returning to the basic things that there is no way that a colonial apartheid state will continue to survive and being fed to continue its plan at the expense of the Palestinians. So I think if we now witnessing only the resistance in Palestine and the resistance in Lebanon, if this plan of imposing the will of the United States and Israel on the region continue, their friends are going to be in trouble. Primarily the people who sign agreements with them. After all, the so-called peace agreement between Egypt and Israel, or Jordan and Israel, especially between Egypt and Israel, is supposed to be the last war of 1973. And we saw that even after Camp David agreement, that there was the 1982 invasion. So and then after that, war after war, that the Israeli been waging against the Palestinian and the Lebanese. So, and even they attacked, by the way, Iraq. The Israelis attacked the Oz-Iraq nuclear reactor even after that agreement with Egypt. So I think as long as this battle is continue, and so far I say the victory is by not being defeated, by proving that you can challenge and you can stand up to the Israeli war machine, supported the most powerful regional power, supported by the most powerful military in the world, could not sustain. You said 4,000? I doubt there is 4,000, by the way, but let's assume 4,000. There is less than that than they were able, because their will to resist is in the support that they have throughout Lebanon and the region. I think this conflict, this war, going probably in the future, we're going to see not only Lebanese resistance and Palestinian resistance, we may see even Syrian resistance in the occupied Golan Heights. We may see a situation different in Jordan. We may see a situation different in Egypt, throughout the Arab world. I think because of the complicity of Arab regimes who, at the beginning, some of them, they were even blaming the resistance for inviting this war, they are now really in trouble. And I think two things in the eyes of the people, in addition that of this complicity and not being able to aid the resistance and aid the Palestinian and the Lebanese people in their resistance, you have legitimacy of those regimes and the distribution of wealth that existed at the disposal of those regimes. Those two issues, what is the source of legitimacy of those rulers? If it's not the people, if it's not a constitutional democracy, then the people, they're not going to accept to continue to accept those tyrannic regimes that taken also the wealth of the nation, who should be at the disposal of all people in that country, that they are really wasting it on themselves and on military spending that sky high, tens of billions of dollars being spent. You can count probably close to a couple hundred billion dollars that those regimes they spend on military since 1967. And look what happened. A few thousand or a few hundred Lebanese resisting the occupation were able to inflict more casualty and more pain and more suffering and more losses in the Israeli than all the Arab armies combined. So I think those issues are for the near future. People going to question the legitimacy and the squandering of the wealth of the people. And I think the region, the new Middle East that's going to emerge, is the new Middle East that's going to be born through the defiance, the resistance that is occurring now in Palestine and Lebanon. And the entire world, the Arab population now, are looking forward to support the resistance and to try to take similar measures in their countries that allowing them to express their will, because they cannot accept anymore and any longer these kinds of regimes that they are not only not able to represent the aspiration of the people, but at the contrary, they are agent of the forces that are trying to dominate the region and reshape the region to the interest of Israel and the United States.
That's the voice of Dr. Munzer Sliman. Dr. Sliman is a founding member of the National Council of Arab Americans, as well as on their executive committee. And he's an expert on the Middle East politically and militarily, has been on the media throughout the United States, Europe, and the Middle East. Dr. Sliman, I want to thank you so much for being on Arab Talk today with us. And I want to just ask you, if people want to read more of the things you've written, where on the web can they go to get your material?
Well, unfortunately, I don't have a website for myself.
You should.
I write occasionally. They may find it on the National Council of Arab Americans website, which is www.arab-american.net. They may find some of my writings there. They can Google sometimes. Probably they could find something in English and in Arabic. Most of my what I'm writing is in Arabic and sometimes in English. But I hope I will be in the future able to regularly be in touch with the readers that they would like to hear my views and read my views.
Thank you very much, Dr. Sliman. I'm sure we'll have you